Okay, we are picking up three lines from the top of Nun Dalet Amud Beis. Our learning is once again sponsored the Ilei Nishmas Shulam Mispas Yaakov. The neshama should have an aliyah. The Gemara says, "Ahud Da'asa LeKamei DeRabbi Abahu." A sofer came before Rabbi Abahu. This is related to what we saw before about a sofer not writing the Askaros Lishma. This is a similar shaila. So he said to the sofer, said to Rabbi Abahu, "Amar Le Sefer Torah SheKasafti LePloni. I wrote a sefer Torah. Gvilin Shelo Lo Bar Tishma. I did not tan the parchments Lishma. You need Ibud Lishma on these aspects of the things that are going to be used for the Sefer Torah, and therefore he's saying that the Sefer Torah is not kosher." Amalei Rabbi Abahu said to him, "Sefer Torah beyond me. Who is in possession of the Sefer Torah right now?" Amalei beyad lokeach. I sold it already. So Amalei, mitoshet neman arizcharcha. Right now you're relieved. It's at a great loss to yourself. You know, it's $30,000 to write a Sefer Torah. Now you're going to be losing that entire value. Ataneman lavsid Sefer Torah. So you're also going to be believed to cause a loss to the Sefer Torah itself, and be assumed that it is in fact puzzle, and therefore, since the Hafsid Melmon is so great in his own admission, we assume that we accept his the fact that he's puzzling it. So the Gemara points out, though, Maishna Amid Rami, what's the difference over here between this case and that of Rav Ami, who told us that the sefer is not believed? In both cases, the possession is in the other person. So the Gemara says, Hasam Inkalami Martari Vidarbi Yirmiya. So there, it's possible to assume that the person made a mistake with Shitas Rabbi Yirmiya, that he thought that Lacha follows Rabbi Yirmiya, who told us that a sofer loses only the schar for writing the askaros. So, okay, he'll lose, you know, $2,000, $3,000 of the $30,000 of his Sefer Torah, but he doesn't lose the entire thing. However, over here, Hacha, Kevin de Kamafsir Kule Agra, he's losing the entire $30,000. He didn't do anything for the guy. Ve'asav Amar in Rakushta Ka'amar. So, and he's coming to say this, clearly, he must be telling the truth, and we accept what he had said. It's really, the Ramah says it's really the Halacha Maisa, that he doesn't really lose everything, right? It's a fully puzzle Sefer Torah, but it still can be used to learn Torah. So, you know, a person would pay for that, like, souvenir, quote-unquote, like, you know, I don't know, $500 and get for $1,000, it's still worth something. So that amount he should still keep. But everything else, Pashut, he's losing outright 99%, like, you know, 95% of his wages, he is losing on that. Okay, so that's what we learn from this case. Now the Mishnah is continuing with different things that have to do a little bit with Dinim Derabanan, which are going to be Mitzad Darkei Shelem. Hey, Rabbi Yochanan ben Godgodia, this is, when we say Heid, that's always referring to the Mishnayos, most of the times, in Yavne, when they had the famous story in Brachos, where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah took over, and he invited everybody to come into the Beis Medrash, and they added, it was, I think, 400 or 700 benches, and whereas two different girsas, and they started saying, everybody come and be made what you learned, and based on that, all of Maseches Edios was taught. Maseches Edios, why you go through like all Shas, all different concepts over there in the Mishnayos. So anyway, we quote many of the Mishnayos, Maseches Edios in their place. Let's say, what if you have a shayla about Nida, that was come up over here, and different places, different things come up. So anyway, Rabbi Yochanan ben Godia another takana was being made, al-Kharesh Shesia Via. So you have a girl who's deaf-mute. So generally, a person who is deaf-mute is not subject to the halachas of being able to get married because she doesn't have das. But Medina Daraisa, it doesn't matter because the father is allowed to marry off his daughter no matter what, even if she's a chereshes, even if she's deaf-mute. So here, it's going to be taking effect on a level of Daraisa. So now we're saying that the teaching us that even if it's this case, it's still valid on a level of Daraisa. That's the halacha. She yotze beget. The halacha is the husband is allowed to divorce her because we see that you don't even need for her to accept the get at all, meaning you can give a get against her will, that only Takanas Rabbeinu Yersha much later, that we avoided that, but still, on the level of Derabanan even, in times of the Gemara, that's totally fine, so that would be applicable over here. V'alketana bas Yisrael, and what about Ketana bas Yisrael, Shenisis Lekoin, who, after losing her father, married a Kohen, either by her brother or by her mother, which is only a marriage Derabanan, she could refuse the marriage even later. Shocheles Betruma, she is allowed to eat Truma. Aye, she's only married on a level of Darabanan. How could you possibly give her Truma Daraisa? Then on a level of Daraisa, she's eating something which makes her Chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim. So that, obviously, you can only eat, based on the Gemara, you're going to only eat Truma Darabanan. And the Chiddush is, so what's the Chiddush then? Because she's married on Darabanan, she's eating Darabanan. Maybe it's very simple. She's going to come to have Truma on a level of Daraisa. Whatever the Letzot Dagan Tiros V'Yitzar is only Daraisa, everything else is Darabanan. So you started eating Truma of other things that are fruits, let's say, which are Darabanan. So then, you very easily could come to eat the bread that's truma also and make a mistake, and that would be truma on the level of the race, so we don't make that gzera. So that's the halacha of Yerusha Chazrin of Im Mesa Baila Yerusha. And if she dies, her husband would inherit her. That's the halacha based on the Gemara Bava Basra that the husband inherits the wife's estate. So generally, it's only married by Rabbanan. Still, we allow her to, the Takan Rabbanan granted him the to be yorish even a level of the race of Alamarish a gozel shabana bira. So let's say a guy stole a beam and he put it and he built a huge beautiful house. So you're gonna have to take off the pillar that he built, let's say that's holding up the whole house. He didn't destroy the whole $5 million house for the $20 beam that he stole. He's never gonna do that. So the halacha is shiitos dama. So then just give him the $20, the value. Generally, Beheshiv is like Zela teaches you on a level of the race that you actually have to give back the actual item that you stole. You can't, you know, you really want that souvenir that person has. And the guy doesn't want the money for it. He wants to keep the souvenir, so you're not allowed to steal it and just give back the money. That's not a kiyum of Shivas like Zela. But here, because what's going to happen? You're going to tell him he has to destroy his whole $2 million mansion that he just built based on the crossbeam that he stole that was worth $50, $100, even $1,000. He's not going to do it. He would never give it back. So therefore, in order to encourage the people to at least give back the value of the money that he stole, so then we allow him to pay, give you $1,000 cash. He doesn't have to actually give you the physical item back. And if you have a stolen chatas, which was not known to the public, so the Gemara, what is not known to the public? The Rashba quotes the Yerushalmi, that is it just not known to three people? That's generally considered rabim, like with regards to Sota, or is it let's say something just a lot more people know? Anyway, shimichaperes. So the halacha is that is mechaper bnei tikkun mizbech, because that's going to be in the benefit of the mizbech. The Gemara is going to discuss what this vague line means in the next amud. So the Gemara says now, Amar Rava. From this edus, we learn that Amar la'edim, if a person says to witnesses, Roi ra'u get zeh she'ani nosin la, see this get that I'm giving her, and then he tells the woman, oh, go take this, I'm going to give you money, look, I'm owing you money. And he hands it to her and she accepts it. Halacha is that she's divorced. Because you could divorce her against real. Milo Amar Biochanan ben Gudgoda lo bayna daita. We see over here clearly that the din of a chareishes teaches us that you don't need the das of the woman to be able to give a get. So therefore, here also, even if he's tricking her and telling her this is shtar chos, since he knows it to get, it's going to be valid. Hachanami lo bayna daita. Therefore, we do not require her knowledge, and even though she thinks she's getting a shtar chov and she didn't realize it was in fact a get, it's still migureshes. So the Gemara says, Pshita, why there's no chiddush of Rava beyond what we're learning from Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgoda, because that's already teaching us this thing that you don't need the das of the woman. So the Gemara says, no, because Ma'adisima, I would have thought the following. Kevan to Amar Kinsi Shtarchov Batla Batla, because he's telling her, oh, look at this money that I'm giving you, the Shtarchov, and I'm going to owe you money. So then this document. So then I would have thought maybe he's actually nullifying the get before he gives it to her, because maybe he's actually wants it to be something which is a Shtarchov. And he's not actually using the get. So Kamash Balan, no. He means to debat, if he actually wanted to nullify it, le'edim avi aminu. He would say to the edim, this is not a get. He whispered to them, he said, listen, this is a get I'm giving to my wife. And so why did he do this? Why did he say to her that it was a star chov? Why did he say that? Because misum kisufa. He didn't want to deal with the embarrassment that he was going to confront her, that he was divorcing her. And it's very awkward, you know. It would be an awkward situation. He's going to yell at him, say, no, let's work it out. She's going to cry. So therefore, he just told her that it was a star chov. He ran out of the way, and then he was done. So it obviously, Ritva points out, though, that clearly you need to tell the Eidim beforehand that this is a get. If you don't, then the Eidim don't even know that. Then nobody sees that it's a Maisa get through the witnesses, then it would not be valid. So you have to tell the Eidim beforehand, this is a get, but I'm really telling her, it's a Star Chov in order that she doesn't yell at me, or whatever, then you give it to her, then it's going to be valid. That's what we learned from this case. V'alktana bas Yisrael, that Nisei is to a Kohen, that she's allowed to have Trumas. And whereas it's, Chareish is lo achla, but a deaf mute girl is married a Kohen, on her own when she's over the age of bas mitzvah, she does not eat truma, even truma midrabanan. So that's because where do we get this diak from? Because the idea that the first case of the Mishnah was talking about a case of a chareshes, and then the second case we jumped to a ketana. Well, we could have just brought the same exact case by a chareshes because her marriage is also derabanan that she's allowed to eat truma. From the fact that Rabbi Yochanan Gudga jumps to the case of a ketana, clearly he's understanding that a chareshes is not allowed to. That's the diak from the Gemara based on the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "My taima, what would be the reason that you wouldn't give a chareshes?" Because if you have a deaf mute kohen who's going to feed his deaf mute wife, then it's going to be the problem over here. So the Gemara says, what's the problem? What do you mean? Their marriage is also derabanan. V'leichol, let them have truma derabanan. Even if you're going to give truma deraisa, and then even that is not going to be a concern because katan ochan avela. So that's the case. They're both don't have das. And there's a concept called katan ochan avelas. That's a whole shaila machlokas in yivamos. If based in chayav lafrisha meister nachaliv risha, our Gemara is assuming like the sheet that holds einan chayav in lafrisha that you do not need to separate him from the other from the Isser. So it's not on Beis Din, maybe it's on the parents, but it's not on Beis Din to stop the Isser. So therefore over here, let them eat Truma. Who cares? We don't care that they're violating Isser, and they're not Chayiv in Mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, Gzera Shami Yochal Cheresh Bifi Kachas. So it's a Dinder Rabbanan, because maybe a Kohen is going to feed a Pikachas who married him, and it's only a level of Rabbanan, and she is going to accidentally eat Truma on a level of Reisa. So Gemara says, "Velecha b'chumah d'rabbanan." Why not? Let her eat shumah d'rabbanan and not shumah d'raisa, just like we do by a ketana. But Gemara says, "No, k'zera shama asil ochel b'chumah d'raisa." She is going to eat shumah d'raisa. Why don't we say that by the case of a ketana? The Gemara doesn't flesh it out. So Rashi helps us out. Rashi says that they do not make this this k'zera by a ketana, because a ketana can never enter into a marriage derabanan, meaning there's no reason to be concerned that a ketana might feed truma to his adult wife, since the katan is not able to marry her, meaning a katan who's a male. So therefore, we can permit a adult kohen to marry a ketana, to marry a ketana, to give her truma, because we're not going to have the reverse situation, and that's why it's not an issue. That's what Rashi fills in, why there's a fundamental difference between the two. Ve'ala marish ha'gazol shebano. The beam that you built the house with, that you don't need to pay the actual beam back, rather you only can, you can give the money, the value of it, and your goods. Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanu v'lernu b'raisa, gazel marish shivanu b'bira. Someone stole this beam and he built it into a big house. Beit Shabbai omri mekakea kol abira kula. He has to dismantle the entire house. So machzer marish labala, if they're not mekel, they have to go. Yeah, in Echanami, that's the halacha, says Beit Shammai. However, our Mishnah, which is following the Shita Beis Hillel, hold Beis Hillel omrim, no, just give the money of that. You cannot demand the beam itself, because we want to be able to do tshuva and actually give back the thing that they stole, or at least the value, and that would be valid. So then the Mishnah also says, he said that that also is midei tikkun hamizbeach. So the Gemara says, Amar Ula, Dvar Torah, on a level of Dareisa, Bein Noda, whether it was known to the public that the Chatas was stolen, or Bein Lonoda, it was not known, Ein Mechaperis. The lacha is that the korban is not Mechaper for the person who stole it. My time, what's the reasoning? Yeush Kedib, because this is Yeush Kedib, means alone. It's only Yeush without actually a change of ownership, a change of possession, Lo Kani. So then Yeush Kedib Lo Kani teaches us that it is not effective to transfer over ownership. The idea of Yeush is the person who has the object. He has been Miyayish. He has abandoned all hope of receiving this item back. So once a person reaches the stage of Yeush, it's actually acquired by the other person. Now, obviously, the guy stole something and I'm a Yayish and getting it back, that does not mean that the thief does not need to pay me for the object, but it rather means that the object itself, it becomes the property of the person who is going to be in possession of it. You obviously still have to pay back, but it's still, now that thing is really considered for certain halachas, it's like it's his. So there's a shaila about Yeush alone being able to acquire the object, or actually have to change possession following Yeush, meaning, because then does the person himself get the item, or only if that person who stole from me, let's say, gives it to somebody else, then it's able to acquire. So according to one shita, the thief himself acquires the object, Yeush Kedi does work. However, Ula is telling us, no, that it does not work, only if he gives it to somebody else. So here, the thief itself is bringing the korban, so Ula understands that it is not enough for him to just be kona through Yeush, he has to give it to someone else, and since he himself is bringing it, then it is not valid. So maybe by, specifically by korbanos at least, because the pasuk says, im ola korbano, which we learn that it has to be his. So it can't be that he received it through Yeush, it's not valid, it's not considered his for that point. So that's what Ula holds. So Yeush Kedi Lo Kani. Umatam Amru Lo Noda Mechaper. So why do we assume the Chachamim say that if the Kohen doesn't know about it, that the animal is stolen, that it is Mechaper for the thief? Shelo Yukohanim Atzevin. The Kohanim should not be depressed over the fact that they brought Chulin to the Azara. Chulin Shenitkul Azara is an Isser D'Oraisa. So they are going to be very upset about such a thing, and therefore we allowed it to be Mechaper. So the question is, if this a guy needs to bring a korban chatas, and he's not, so on a level of do-reisa, so then he needs to bring another korban, and the chachamim are preventing him, not preventing him, but telling him he does not need to do so. Isn't that okir davar min haTorah? So Rashi already addresses this, and Rashi says, yes, it is okir davar min haTorah. However, this is a okir davar min haTorah b'shei val taisa. So Rashi alludes to this, Rashi doesn't flesh it out even clearer, that this is the case over here, that a person would be v'shei v'al taisa, we tell him you don't need to go bring another korban, and that would be permitted over here. So again, so that's the idea of our Torah, b'ein od alon adam mechaperes, because yesh kedi, that's the idea that kohanim don't be, that we assume that it is acceptable. So that's why shaloi kohanim tzivin. So the Gemara now says, Avar le Rabbanan le'ula. The Rabbanan responded to Ula. V'ha'anan mipnei tikkun ha'mizbech tani. Wait, we learn not because of mipnei tikkun ha'kohanim, but rather tikkun ha'mizbech. That's a different halacha seemingly. So Gemara says, Amar lahem, Ula says to them, Kevan the kohanim atzivim. Since the kohanim would be sad about such a situation, nimta mizbech batel. The result would be that the mizbech would be batel because the kohanim would hesitate to perform this korban, they'd be always choshish, so maybe a guy stole it, and they'd be violating nisa d'oraisa, and they wouldn't want to do their avoda, and to avoid that, that's why we use lashon hamidei tikkun hamizbeach. Rav Yehuda amar dvar Torah bein noda bein loda mechaperes. No, really, even if it was known that it was stolen, it's really mechaper. My taima, yeush kedi is kone, he understands like the other man damar, that yeush kedi is kone, and therefore, it's fully the person who stole it in reference to him being allowed to bring the korban, as I mentioned. For certain purposes, it's like it's his. Obviously, he has to pay back the value, for sure. He has to pay back the value of what he stole. But the animal itself is like his, and the fact that if he wants to bring it now as a korban, it is valid. So what's the reason the Chachamim said that if the animal is stolen, that it does not atone for the ganav? So what would be the reason for that? Rashi points out that it's not explicit, but it's clearly a diuk based on the Mishnah, because we see that if a stolen chatas is only when it's unknown, it's going to be mechaper. Implies that if it's known, then it's not mechaper. Why not? Because shelo yomru mizbeach ochel gzelos. So people should not say that the mizbeach is ochel gzelos, and that is the, and people are going to say, look, it has stolen things. People are bringing stolen stuff all the time. Look what happens to the mizbeach. So now the verse says bishlam leula. So now this fits well with the opinion of Ula, because he explains that Mishnah's main point is to validate the unknown chatas, so the Kohanim shouldn't be sad. Haynu d'ktani chatas. That's why the Mishnah specifically brought a case of a chatas rather than that of an ola, because a chatas has parts that the Kohanim need to eat. So that makes sense to validate the korban of a chatas. That's why the Mishnah brings that as a specific example. El Rav Yehuda understands that the Mishnah's main point is to pasul a stolen chatas so the people would not come to be motzid laz on the mizbeach. My iria chata, what's the difference if he brings a chata? So it should be all karbanos, even an ola. Also, people should not say that it's ola, that people are bringing olos that are stolen. Why is the Mishnah bringing a case specifically of a chata? So the Gemara says, no, because let me buy a kamar. The Mishnah, it's not necessary. That's the type of limud of the Mishnah. It's not necessary to mention, let me buy ola de chalilia. It's not necessary to say that a stolen ola, which is totally brought on the mizbeach, is going to be pasul. So then, certain people are going to say that it's taking that it's being it's ochel a stolen thing. But even a case of a chatas where the chilev and the blood that are brought on mizbech, but everything else is given to the kohanim to eat. Even there, the Chachamim made a decree that people are going to be mutzalaz on the mizbeach. We're going to say that the mizbeach is consuming all the stolen things, and it's not good. And therefore, he's specifically mentioning the chatas because that is a bigger chiddush than the case of an ola. That's why the Mishnah specifically mentions the case of a chatas. So now the Mishnah also meant. Now we learn in our Mishnah, a chatas akzula shalom bel rabim shemichaber bnei tikkun mizbeach. So again, this halacha also seems to fit better with Ula. Bishlam al-Ula Nicha. This point makes more sense for Ula, because the idea of the Mishnah is a stolen chatas, the status unknown, is being mechaper. Elul Rav Yehuda. According to Rav Yehuda, explains that the main point of the Mishnah is that a stolen chatas status is known is not being mechaper. Ipcha mibayle, the Tana should have mentioned that directly that Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudga is made that the chatas akzula, that the status is in fact known, is not mechaper. Yet he doesn't say that; he says it the other way around. But that's not the chiddush according to Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says hachanami kamar. No, it's saying also this, meaning lo noda mechaperes. The idea of it's not known is mechaper. Noda ina mechaperes. But if it is known, that's the chiddush. It is not atonim nei tikkun mizbeach for the benefit of the mizbeach, so that people not say that the mizbeach consumes things which are stolen. Now the Gemara continues. Meisiv Rava. Rava challenged Ula from the Braisa. So what does the Braisa say? Ganav hiktish v'achakach tavach u'machar. If someone stole an ox or a sheep or a goat, and then he was makdish it, and he shechted it or sold it, mishalem tashem kefel. He has to pay kefel to the owner. Kefel is what you pay when it's something when you're makdish. Usually you don't have to pay kefel. In this case, the kefel applies even though the animal is now hektish, since it wasn't hektish at the time of the geneva, and that was the point where the kefel comes in. So however, he does not have to pay the 4 and 5, which is generally the thing that you generally need to pay for when you shecht a thing, right? That's when you shecht the thing. So here, the reason for that would be that the time that the 4 and 5 came in, the Tashumi Arba Chamisha is already considered Hekdesh and it's not considered his. Betani Allah, and the Braisa teaches us, Bechutz Kiai Gavna, you shefted the animal outside the Beis HaMikdash, so then Anush Karis, he's going to be punished with the punishment of Karis for shefting an animal which is a korban which is Hekdesh, and that's considered chutz lekomo, and that's shrute chutz, and the person would be chayav karis for doing that on purpose. So the Mishnah is telling us that if he did that, he would be chayav karis. Now, if you're going to tell me that yesh kadi is not enough to thief to acquire the ownership as Ula wants to tie us, so this is a kashan Ula now. Karis, my avida say, why should he be getting karis? Why is he getting karis? There's no penalty of karis for shefting outside the Beis HaMikdash, an animal that is considered mida areisa, not fit to bring as a korban. And so therefore, that's a kasha on Ula. Rashi deals with the question of why aren't we asking the kasha on Ula from the Braisa? Why don't we also ask him based on the Mishnah itself? The Mishnah itself, which tells us that you don't have to pay an arba v'chamisha when it's makdashit. How can Ula hold that the thief does not acquire the animal through Yeush Kedi, so it should be really good, and you should have to pay that. Okay, that's all. Rashi answers that the Gemara couldn't ask from there because Yeush Kedi is not working. It might mean that there's not, as in terms of being makar of the korban. However, in regards to the actual aspect of owning it, with regards to the Tashlumei Arba Chamisha, Ula might hold that Yeush Kedi is in fact going to be valid. That's all. Shaila we mentioned for different purposes, as different statuses of what's his and what's not. And Rashi says maybe that's really the chiluk over here. Anyway, so the Gemara says Amar of Shizbi Karis B'Divrayim. Ula is going to tie that you get Karis B'Derabanan. So the Gemara says Achuli, the Rabbanan laughed at such a svara. They said, what is this Karis B'Divrayim? What does that mean that there's Karis B'Derabanan? How could you have that such a thing? Amar the Rava Gavra Rabba Amar Milsa. What a big Talmud Chacham said this. Lo Tachola, don't make fun of him. So rather, Karis Ayadei Devarim Ba'asala. This comes through a Chachamim decree, and it's really Karis in love with the Reisa. How could that be? Akmur Rabbanan Bereshu say that they can put the animal in the possession of the thief in order to be let make him be Chayav Keichad L'Chayav Aleya, and therefore they established that even though Yerush Kedi generally in love with the Reisa is not his, here though, through the idea of Hefker based in Hefker, they're able to make the object be in possession of the Ganav, and therefore if they do that, and it's fully his, then it's mamash, it was his to be able to mekadesh it, and when he shechts it in chutz lemekomo, then he's violating an iser karis, and really it would be chayav karis on a level of deo raisa. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava havade kamibayli. This is a question for me though. Ki akmur rabbanan bereshusay, when the chachamim say that the animal is in the thief's possession, mishas keneva, did they make this ownership retroactively to the time of the theft? Oh, mishas hekdisha. That, or is it retroactive for the time of being makdishit? L'may nafkamina, what is going to be the nafkamina? L'gizusei vladusei. So there would be a nafkamina in regards to the animal's shearings and the offspring from the time of its theft until your makdishit. My. So the Gemara says, what's the lach in this case? Hadam Rava mistavra mishas hekdisha. The Rava says that the Chachamim made the thief's ownership of the animal retroactive only once the time of their makdishit. Shelo yechot niskar, so that a sinner should not profit from sinning by gaining possession of the animals and the shearings and the offspring. Therefore, this shouldn't be a question. Okay, now we're going to get to a thing that happened in the time of the Chorban Bayis Sheni, and from there we're going to get to the very famous Gemara, the end of the Amud today, and it's mamish one of these Siyata Deshmayas from the Daf. We're going to be discussing these are the famous Gemaras that one of the few things you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, because this is all the concept of our concept stories, the story, a lot of the stories that we're very familiar with. It'd be nice, we're going to learn them inside, and we should learn, and we should be thinking and be mourning the Beis HaMikdash during this time period of the 3 weeks that we are in. Mamish Hashkacha Pratis, that we have the, say this chus, but we're able to learn these Gemaras now. So this halacha, why are we starting from this? Because the Mishnah deals with the halacha of I still never pronounce it. Sikrikin, that's pronouncing, I don't know if that's correct pronunciation. A Sikrikin is a Ovid Kochavim who was basically, it was free reign. When reading the historical accounts of how terrible obviously we have the Gemaras also, but in terms of the Romans were just free and feel to kill anybody on the street. It was like Hatter Gomer. So the way that people would avoid that is, they would say, take the land and don't kill me. And sometimes they would acquiesce to that. They wouldn't kill the person. So the Lashon of Sikrikin, someone understands, is Sakarka, is take this land, meaning just take my property and don't kill me. So the halacha is that if the goy takes this and now sells it to another Jew, and you want to get back this property, that's a big shadow. What happens over here? So that's what the Mishnah is dealing with. Loya Sikrikin Behudas. The halacha of Sikrikin, I'm already adding that in. Gemara's going to be maskana. The halacha of Sikrikin was not applied in Yehuda, Beharuge Milchama, when people were starting to be killed during the time of Titus, when they were trying to destroy, what they eventually did succeed in destroying the second base of Mikdash. Merugim Melchama Ve'elach, however, after that point of the war, Yesh Basirkun Dalacha Sikrikun does apply in Yehuda. Okay, so this was during, again, the Great Revolt against the Roman Legion. So the Mishnah continues. Ketzad, how does this work? What's the Alacha Sikrikin? Lakach mi Sikrikin. If a person, Sikrikon, maybe Sikrikin, Sikrikon, I don't know. So if a Jew acquires the land from a Sikrokon, he bought it from this Sikrokon, v'chazer v'lakach mi balabayas. And then he after paying the Sikrikin, he then also did a kinyan with a former owner. The acquisition is void and he has to give the land to the original owner. Because it's assumed that the owner didn't really want to give it to the guy who bought it from him, but if he didn't, then the goy was going to kill him for that. So he said, okay, I'll take this field, do a kinyan and take the field. However, if the Jew acquired the land from an owner first, and then then he agreed to buy it from the Mesikrikin, then it would be valid. He does not need to then give it back to the original owner. Because there he says, okay, listen, it's already possession of the goy, I'll give you $10,000, and we'll do a kinyan. And it works, and he does a kinyan, then he goes and takes and buys it from the Mesikrikin at a discount, then he's willing to do that. Lakach mina ish. If someone acquired some land, so a similar halacha with regards to Sikrikin, about a property which is mortgaged for the wife's ksuba. So lakach mina ish. If someone acquired land from the husband, v'chazer lakach minisha, then he didn't want the woman to collect her ksuba from that land. She'll collect from other property, but not that land, because he doesn't want to have a lien on it. So he says, okay, I'll give you, $500, then don't collect from this property, collect from somewhere else. So halacha is mecha batel. This is not valid because we're assuming that under pressure that the husband sold the property and she wants to make the husband happy that she did such a thing. However, what if he went the other way around? The similar halacha. I mean, each if he first buys the rights to the property from the wife, the husband didn't even know about it, and then chazer lakach mina ish, and then he buys his property from the husband. So then mecha chayim, then it's valid and she cannot claim the lien on that property. However, the Gemara points out that Zomish Rishona, this was the original halacha the Chachamim said. However, based in Shachareim Amru, Halokeach Misikrikon, if a person acquires land from a Sikrikon, Nosin Labailim Revia, he gives 1/4, the Gemara is going to discuss if it's 1/4 of the amount that was paid by the Sikrikon and 1/4 of the value of the property, either one, to the original owner, and he's allowed to keep the land for himself. And why did they do that? Because the Rashba quotes this from Yerushalmi, because they saw that the people were not buying the property back because they were just going to lose it to the original owner. So then it was going to stay in the possession of the Goyim, and because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, they wanted as much possession to be in Jewish hands as much as possible, even after the Romans were trying to take over. So then they made this takana. Emasai, when does this halacha apply? Bizman she'in biyadin likach, when the original owner does not have enough means to acquire the land himself. Aval yesh biyadin likach, if he does have the means to acquire the land back, he gets kedimus, and if it's the same amount, then he would be able to buy, no one else is allowed to purchase it. If the Sikrokon is willing to sell it to him back, then we would assume that is allowed, it's he has kedimus to get that land back. Rebbe Hoshe based in, v'nimnu shimaisa, so Rebbe made a based in, v'nimnu shimaisa bifne Sikrokon shnimas rachodesh, and they established that if the land remained in the Sikrokon for 12 months, kol akodim likach zacha, whoever is first to acquire from the Sikrokon acquires it permanently. He's not required to return it to the original owner, and he doesn't have to pay him compensation. No sin, the Bailam Revia. He has to pay the purchaser 1/4 to the original owner, but the original owner cannot claim, hey, I want this back. So the Gemara now says, Hashta, Be'arugi al Mechama loya basikrokon. So now, I don't understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, during Arugi Mechama, there was not a Sikrokon in Yehuda. How is that possible? There was no Goyim, Me'arugi Mechama Ve'elach after the war, then there was more people who were killing people, and they were willing to give them the lands. So the Gemara says, no, Pasha people were just killing people, but Amar Rav Yehuda Lodanu Badin Srikukun Kamar. That means Allah Srikukun was not applied in Yehuda during the war because people were just murdering and therefore it wasn't Shayach. Amar Rav Asi Shalak Zerasar Gazud. It was Titus had three halachas. First, three edicts. It was not the halacha, it was three rules. When he was first coming to lay siege and have this major war, called the Lokata Likalu. Whoever does not kill a Jew when he sees him, he himself is going to be killed. So that was crazy. You know, so many people, blood on the streets. So many people were dying during this time of the Chorban Bayis Sheni. Mitziyasa, the second that he made, called the Katil Lese Arba Zuze. However, he didn't want people just killing Jews now on the streets because they already say as maybe probably Hamshich and they already were winning the war, about to destroy the base of Megdash. He said you have to pay 4 zuz, which is a very insignificant sum, but at least symbolically showed that they didn't really want to fully kill Jews at that point. But then, that's right. So the third thing that he says, Kodid Lelikta, there's a real punishment. You don't just execute Jews on the streets now that the rebellion is over. Hilkach Kamaisa Umitziyasa. So then when the first two things were done, that was during the war, came into Katle, since the Ovidei Kochavim could kill Jews without being feared of any retribution whatsoever. Agav Onse Gamra Matne. So then the Jewish person would actually sincerely give ownership of this land to the Sukrikin. So thus, he definitely assumes ownership of the land based on the Gemara Bava Basra, which teaches us that if someone makes a sale in order to avoid a terrible circumstance, the sale is in fact still valid. So this was he wanted to avoid serious harm. We assume that he was in fact giving consent to the sale. So that is going to be what happened over here, and therefore the land is the lach of the Sukrikon is not applicable because we're assuming that it really is the property of the goy, and you're buying from the goy. You don't have to give it back to anybody to the Yisrael. But when the last thing came in effect, so after the war, and then you're not allowed to kill Jews, so then they said, Inna lishko. So he doesn't really have in mind to fully give it to the goy. So therefore, he said, let me take my land today. I'm going to, even in secular court, in the Roman courts, take him to court. And therefore, the owner wasn't necessarily planning on giving the land to the Sikrikon. And therefore, the halachas of Sikrikon about paying a fourth and the original, those two things about not paying it all, paying part of it or not being batel gamrei, and then taking it over, those halachas started to kick in and they were in effect. Okay, I guess we'll start off with the Gemaras of Amar Rabbi Yochanan. That is going to start the whole new sugya of the famous Gemaras of Kamtzav or Kamtzav. As Hashem, we'll pick up with that in tomorrow's stuff.